coming down to just about three of them left. And so we're going to touch base on them today a little bit, see what we can discover. Hallelujah. Lord, as I begin to open up your word, Lord, just reveal it to all of us. Help us, Lord. Guide us. Direct us. We thank you, Father, right now for the things that you have in store for us and what we can see and reveal through these disciples, Lord, because we are your disciples of today. Amen. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. So we're going to look at the last couple here. Remember, we've gone through, many of them were unknown characteristics, kind of like some of the things, what did Jesus even say about them? There wasn't a whole lot, but we know they were there with him, didn't we, by the scriptures and the stories. So we're going to look at Thaddeus, Judas, son of James. They wanted to make sure, of course, they identified this Judas and not get him mixed up with the other Judas. How would you like to have a name of Judas and knowing what Judas of the Iscariot was, you know? It's like, not him. So we're going to look at that. He was also called Judas the Zealot. We find that many of the disciples, they were zealot. They were on fire. They believed what they believed strongly in. And I think that's encouraging for us that we too, as followers of Christ, that we become zealot enough that we are on fire for him. We are serving him. We want to learn more about him. We want to find out more about him. We want these things revealed to us by that of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in our spirit, so that we can have, and I believe even today, we, you, us, me, can have a tangible thing with that of Christ. You know, I can't physically touch him. I can't physically go up and put my arms around him. But I know by that of the Holy Spirit, he has come and wrapped his arms around me. How about you? And that's that sensing. That's that feeling that we have. But let us be zealot. And again, I talked about how, you know, carefully being distinguished from that of Judas, the betrayer. So as we go through this, and we're going to drop into him, we find that Jesus selected ordinary men. I would say today he's selecting ordinary people, ordinary men and women. And these are men with a mixture of backgrounds and personalities to become that of his disciples. Of today, I find that same thing. It's just interesting to look around even here today, and there's several that are gone, but as each one of us are disciples or followers of Jesus, amen, that we are fulfilling a call on our life that he has called us to do. So for today, God is doing the same thing. He's calling ordinary men and women to build what? His church. Teach about what? The salvation message. And to do what? To go and serve others out of love. For Jesus loved, so loved. God so loved the world. Jesus loved, compassion, love through that of Jesus. He wants that in us as disciples of his, followers of his, that people, when they look at us, they see love. Amen? It's not always easy, but we want to show that. When we look at ourselves, though we usually feel that we're unqualified to serve Christ effectively, I don't think any of us feel worthy. But together we make up a group that is strong enough to serve God in any way that he directs us. We each have something on our path that he is telling us to do, to be a part of. Let us fulfill that. Let us complete that mission. Let us fulfill that destiny. For we need to ask for patience to serve. We need to ask God for his strength to help us in those areas that we are weak. And how many here, you're weak? I am weak, but I'm strong in him. And to serve with compassion and love. Oh, Lord, give me your love. Give me your compassion. Let it emulate in me so that I can push that out to others and that I don't look at them with the eyes and the thoughts of man and how I could look and make some kind of a thought or a comment or, well, they deserve that or, well, that should be that or whatever the case might be. We look at everyone as sinners. We look at everyone that has fallen and we have been there ourselves, haven't we? Please, please, Lord, let us have that strength and let us have that compassion and love and serve the way Jesus served, for he is our example. And that's what we see in these disciples. They were serving him. May not have understood him, may not have grasped everything that he was speaking of even then. How many of you today grasp everything that you sense by that of the Holy Spirit or by what you read in the scriptures that you see how that fulfills in your life? It's many times we see things and we don't understand it. We have an inkling of how is this going to work? But it's through Jesus working in us. We just need to surrender. Kind of like what these first disciples, these first apostles did. They surrendered what they were doing to go and serve him. We have to think on that same premise. So getting back to Judas, the son of James, the Judas the Zealot, Thaddeus, occupation is unknown. He's one of the most obscure of all disciples or apostles. Now, there are some scholars that attribute the Epistle of Jude to him. Tradition says that he preached in Assyria and Persia, that he did die a martyr in Persia. But then again, his occupation is really unknown. It kind of lets us know that you don't have to be a somebody to serve Jesus. And really, I don't want to be a somebody to serve Jesus. I just want to be me and who he calls, and I want to be faithful to that call. What's his outstanding characteristic? It's unknown. We don't really know a whole lot about the guy. What's about the major events? Well, he asked Jesus why he would reveal himself to his followers and not to the world. You know, we ask that. Lord, you've revealed yourself to me in the Spirit. I've been born again. I'm a new creation. God has revealed you to me through that of the birth and my scripture reading and my meditating and my prayer with you. You are being revealed to me by what? The revealed word of him. But we find people outside that they don't believe that. They don't even know that. But they've got to have that event in their life of salvation and hearing of the good news. And at least give him a try. What do you got to lose, fellas? Why not give Jesus a try? Isn't life hard? Oh, my life is terrible. Going through all kinds of pain and all kinds of suffering. Yeah. So what would it hurt to at least maybe listen and think on some of these things, of what Jesus is about? We go into the scripture references, like many of them were at Matthew 10:3. It's given the disciples being called. In 3:18, it's talking about the 12 disciples are named. Mark 3:18. But we do get into John 14:22. It says here, John 14:22. Judas, not Iscariot, says to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourselves to us, but not to the world? And Jesus says to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Do you love him today? Keep his word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Is Jesus making his home with you? Are you making your home with him? Verse 24, he who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who has sent me. Jesus is saying, what I'm saying to you is what God the Father is saying. Why do we say that? Because Jesus says, I don't say or do anything but what the Father shows me or tells me. And that's for us today. We need to be sensitive to that of God, to where when he speaks something to us, that we're going to speak that to those around us. Let it be his word and not our word. And when he tells you to shut up, stop adding anything of your word to it. That would keep you out of a lot of trouble. But when he's telling you and to share and to do, follow that of God. And that's where in John 14:22, asking, why, Jesus, won't you reveal yourself to the world? Now, we also look at this in the disciples were still expecting Jesus to establish an earthly kingdom, and they wanted to overthrow Rome. Today, we pray many times like that. Oh, Lord, come down here and let's overthrow Washington, D.C. Overthrow the Republicans and the Democrats and anyone in politics that is going errant in ways of morality and the where they're taking this wonderful nation that you have blessed and continue to bless, Lord. Oh, Lord, if it weren't by your grace and mercy, you would have blotted out America decades ago. But his love and grace and mercy, and he's got a job to do, and we have a job to do with him, and that's to share his word. Amen. But we too, being his disciples of today, wonder sometimes, Lord, just blot them all out. Let's get this thing over with. But his disciples of today, they find it hard to understand why he just doesn't tell the world around him that, let's look at this real quick. Establish the earthly kingdom and overthrow Rome. They found it hard to understand why he didn't tell the whole world around him that he was the Messiah. Now, we go out and we're sharing that Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah. We're sharing that message. But with that, we still want God to bring about his vengeance now upon some of the things that we don't like taking place, even in our land. The disciples were the same back in the days of the Romans and what Rome was doing. Not everyone, however, could understand the message that Jesus has. And as we look past the time of Pentecost, the good news of the kingdom has been and is being proclaimed to this day. But even now, not everyone is receptive to this message. And you ask yourself, what more do they need to be shown? What's it going to take for them to have a relationship with Jesus? Well, what did it take for you to have a relationship with Jesus? Maybe somebody coming and sharing the word? Somebody coming and showing love? Someone getting to where you were at, down in the mire, and the things that you were dealing with as an individual, and you looked at them going, there's got to be something to this. That's what drove me and brought me to an understanding that I wanted to find out more about this relationship with Jesus when things in my life, when I saw some outpouring of love from a church that we didn't and weren't a part of, that I didn't even know any of the people, but they came and they helped us at a particular time. And I looked at that going, something about this. It happened in southern Illinois. It happened in Wisconsin. I'm going, there's something to these things of that of God. Of people that are truly serving him in such a way that they will, in a way, lay down their life, lay down their activities of the day to come and help me in a situation that I was having need of. That opened my eye, that opened my heart, and I began to say, I need to find this out and search this out a little bit deeper. It was the actions of those disciples back in 88 or 89 when we moved here, those disciples back then. Today, we are the disciples here today, and what are you to do to show that love and that hand of Christ extended to those around you? You'll never know how that'll open up a heart of an individual to begin to receive even more of the love of Christ. But even today, they're not receptive to this message. We get to the next one, Simon the Zealot. Here's another zealot. These zealots, the Z team. Yeah, that's what we ought to be out there. We'll call ourselves the Z team, zealot. Occupation unknown. And it's okay. We don't really need to know. We just need to know that they followed Jesus. That they, for whatever in their life and where they were at, Jesus called them, got them to come, and they fulfilled what they were to do. Amen? And we are going to do that today, hopefully ourselves, that we're going to follow and fulfill that of what Jesus is wanting us. Again, an outstanding characteristic of what we're talking about here of Simon the Zealot. Unknown occupation, but a characteristic, he has a fierce patriotism. He has fierce dedication to the cause. He was right there. As a zealot, Simon would have hated any foreign domination or interference of Roman rule in Palestine. He was a patriotism. He wanted and guarded that of his country. And he wanted things that were right and true to be there. And those that weren't, he wanted to make sure they weren't there. And he would probably fight against that. Major events in his life, well, this is like the majorest. He became a disciple. Your life today, the most major event in your life, is not when you got married, not when you had kids. It's when you had a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is where it really starts. What did Jesus say about him? Now, we always want people to know about us. Well, what are people going to remember about Tim? Oh, what are they going to say about me? Oh, it could be like this. What did Jesus say about him? Unknown. Really? I served you. I'm doing this. And it's okay to be in the background. It's okay to be in the shadows of what's taking place. But you're serving and you're doing. And it's not for your glory. Just like Jesus says, I want to bring glory to God. It's not to bring glory to a Harvester's Church. It's to bring glory to God. It's not to bring glory to yourself. It's to bring glory to God. Ooh, that's what it all counts, and that's what it's all about. One of the key lessons in his life is if we are willing to give up our plans for the future, we can participate in the plans that Jesus has. When we serve God and when he calls us and when Jesus beckons us to come, there will be differences in all of our lives and the things that we have to change, that we may have to lay down, that we may have to adjust. Whatever it is, each one is different and separate. It's not a cookie cutter of like, okay, we're going to all be called and you're all going to give up your jobs and your career and we're just going to go. There were those disciples that we've talked to, the 12, that they gave up their occupations and the occupations that they were a part of, like especially the fishermen and the tax collector, you know, all these, they gave up their careers to go follow that of Christ. The main thing is that you follow Christ. You can follow Christ right from your home. Right from your job, right from your family, whatever it is, you're not going to be. You know, when I received Christ and I said, Lord, I will serve you and I will do whatever you want, Lord. I, under my breath and under after that, I said, and I was hoping he was hearing me. I go, but hopefully I'm not going to Africa. Let that for Doug. I'm not going to go to Alaska. Let that for Doug. It's like, Lord, we want to serve you. But we want to give him where we want to serve him at. And what we've got to do is we've got to begin to serve him where we're at and allow him to move you where his plans take you and let it be his plans. Amen? Amen. So anyway, now we're getting to this guy. If we're willing to give our plans for the future, we're going to participate in the plans of God. That's the greatest plan you can be a part of is that plan of Jesus. It has wonderful benefits. Amen? Now, we're going to look at, here again, Matthew 10:4 is mentioning that. We're not going to go there. Called and given the power over unclean spirits. The disciples were given power. You today have been given power. You can come against unclean spirits. You can do and take on that of the devil. If Jesus is there and he's telling you to go forth and to cast out or to do, you can do it. Do you believe it? Amen. That's one of the areas of being a disciple is knowing my power is not in me. My power is that of the kingdom of God. And he's going to have us do different things. But anyway, we too have power to raise the dead. If it so happens to where Jesus and, you know, we hear by that of the Spirit to where you can go lay hands. I think sometimes we got a lot of people dead on our churches, but they're still breathing. You know? Maybe we need to lay hands on them to get fired up for that of Jesus and for the call on their life. Come on, let's go. We're going to go. Hallelujah. Then there's Mark 3:18. Here and again, the disciples being called. Luke 6:15, being called as a disciple. Notice that when we get out of like Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and it gets into John in those areas, and we begin to, and then Acts, it starts with being called apostles because of Jesus' resurrection, and now they become that of apostles. Now we're getting into the final guy, Judas. Judas Iscariot. Unknown occupation. Outstanding characteristic, the term Iscariot, which is used to distinguish Judas from other disciples named Judas. It refers to his hometown. He was known to be treacherous and greedy. He was the only disciple who was not from Galilee. It's interesting. He was the only disciple that was not from Galilee. Major events in his life, he became one of the disciples, of course. But then he betrayed Jesus. He killed himself. What did Jesus say about him? He called him a devil. Well, he did have Peter too, and he says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." But he called him a devil. He said Judas would betray him. That's what Jesus said about him. A key lesson from this life: it is not enough to be familiar with the teachings of Jesus. The followers of Jesus loved and obeyed him. We find the scripture reference, Matthew 26:20-25. Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, "Rabbi, it is I." He said to him, "You have said it." And then as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Why did Jesus want to betray him? Judas, like other disciples, expected Jesus to start a political rebellion and overthrow Rome. See, we all have what we think Jesus ought to be doing. "Well, Jesus, you need to do this. Jesus, you need to do that." Judas, being the treasurer, was assuming he, as did the other disciples, that he would be given an important position in Jesus' new government. We're all vying for power. What can I be? What am I going to be in his cabinet? You know? But remember when Mary poured out that perfume over the feet of Jesus, the value of it was like a year's wages. The greed that Judas had for the desire of money and the status could not be realized if he continued to follow Jesus. The greed that he had, the desires that he had of money, all of these things taking place are relevant of today. The greed that we could have, the desires of money, we're going to get rich, we're going to do this, whatever it takes. The greed that Judas had for the desire of money and the status could not be realized if he continued to follow Jesus. And that's when he had planned to betray Jesus into the hands of the religious leaders for the sum of 30 pieces of silver, which would amount to the price for a slave. And you'll find that back in Exodus 21:32. The amount of this would be approximately 4 months, 120 days of wages. The kiss, the betrayal. We find that in Luke 22:47. Luke 22:47. "And while he was still speaking, behold a multitude, and he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus says to him, 'Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?'" We find that in the tradition it was this. A kiss was a traditional greeting used among men in certain areas of the world. But in this case, it was to identify Jesus to the servant, to the priest, to seize Jesus and to arrest him. And a thought came to me of this, of today even. Today we betray Jesus when our acts of service or giving are insincere. They become empty gestures and we do them merely for show. You know, we want people, there's people in some churches and all that they want to, "I'll serve you and I'll do this. I hope people are noticing what I'm doing. I hope I get accolades. I hope they say, 'Oh, you're so great. Oh, you're wonderful. Oh, oh,'" and then we begin to get boastful and prideful and we're the big banana. And we begin to see that in ourselves. We've got to guard ourselves from that. Again, like I say, sometimes it's best to serve and just be that unknown. Because the only one that really needs to know, and he does know, is that of God. "Well done, good and faithful." John 12, we find that act as far as Judas was upset. Now we've gone to the betrayal in the garden, but now we're going to backtrack a little bit in John 12. And this is talking in regards to that of that expensive perfume, that expensive oil. "How dare you? How can you do that? Oh, Jesus, look at this." Then Mary, she takes a pound of very costly oil and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with this wonderful fragrance of the oil. The more you pour out, the more the smell just starts to permeate even more. But one of the disciples, who? Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, says, "Why was the fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" Well, given to the poor meant that I could pocket some of it. He counted himself in with that, I think. And then he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take care of what was put in it. Whatever went in that money box, guess who was watching it? Judas. Jesus says to him, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always." Often Judas dipped into the disciples' money bag for his own use. They won't miss it. I'm the only one that really knows the amount that's in there. You know, we can fudge a little bit here and there. Jesus probably knew this, but at the time he did not address it. Nothing went by Jesus without him knowing it. This did not catch Jesus off guard. He knew he was skimming the top. He knew all these things were happening. But it was the plan of God to fulfill the totality of what Jesus was to fulfill with that of his birth, his ministry, his arrest, the death on the cross, put in the tomb, the resurrection, and then coming back. It's all the plan of God. Sometimes we think we're getting by things on God, but he knows. For us today, it would look like this. When we choose to sin, God may not address it with us right away or to stop it. This does not mean that he approves of it. It doesn't mean that he's okay with our actions. But there will be a time coming, don't you believe it? There's a time a coming that he'll address it with us. And he'll bring it to light. But the thankfulness of it even today is that we have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that we can ask for forgiveness and be forgiven. Amen. You can ask for forgiveness and be forgiven. Repent quickly. Turn from those things. Get back in his good graces, if we want to call it that. But you got to remember, you've got to repent. You've got to ask for forgiveness. You've got to be willing to say, "Jesus, I screwed up." He already knows it. He wants you to realize it. "I've screwed up. I've left your way. I have changed and I've not fulfilled and done all the things that I have been doing. I was following you," whatever the case might be, "and I've messed up. Oh, but Lord, I realize that today. But would you forgive me?" You think he's going to say, "Nope, it's too late"? No. He'll still be able to say, with arms wide open, he's welcoming us again and again and again. That love, that compassion that he has for us, even when we are his disciples, when we are his children and we mess up and we don't do something right, and the conviction of the Holy Spirit in us just tells me, "Tim, you hurt me." I feel at times, has God ever talked to you like that? Use your name. "Hey, I wasn't pleased with what you did. You didn't handle that the way I would have hoped you to handle it. You didn't go and do what I really wanted you to do. You came up with all kinds of excuses." But as we've done those, and then the Spirit in us, we begin to sense that, and he speaks to us in love, grace, mercy, to get you to realize that he's watching. And he's not watching so that he can just put the hammer down on you. He's watching and he wants you to be pure. His righteousness is in us to make us righteous, not by our own abilities and our own righteousness, for they are what? Filthy rags, tattered and torn, soiled and yuck, are our rags. But his righteousness in us through that of Jesus, through that of our salvation and receiving him as our Lord and Savior, he comes and he says, "You come now and be my disciple. "You, young woman, come and be my disciple. Come and follow me, for I have wonderful things for you to do." But I don't have that ability. You're not your ability. It's my ability. And I will work through you, my child. So all we have to do is surrender that to him. Amen? Just like all of these disciples that we have looked into and just ran through real quick about who these gentlemen were. But it gives me hope that, you know what, today I'm his disciple, and today I'm going to serve and fulfill whatever he has for me, and I want to honor him and glorify him. And I've messed up so many times. How about you? But the thing is, it's nice to know that you recognize you've messed up. The enemy might have had you for a little bit blinded to it, even as a salvation and Jesus in your life. You might have become blinded just a little bit. All of a sudden, we put Jesus on the side, and we got kind of hooked into things of the world because we're kind of like, well, that's where we're all at, guys. We're in the world here. And so we got to guard ourselves and watch ourselves. And when you know that you know that you've tripped up, just own up to it. I love it. With arms wide open. Wide open. Don't you visualize Jesus? Don't you visualize God just standing there and saying, "Come back. Come home. Come home. All ye who are weary, come home." He's got a wonderful home for us. He's preparing it, and he's continuing to keep it prepared. But let us be his disciples of today, doing what he wants us to do. And I love it, because he found something in me that I would not find in me. Did he find something in you that you never knew you had? That, like, how are you choosing me when there's so many others out there that are a lot better than me? But remember, it goes like this: not your capabilities, but your availability. It's not what you know, but it's who you know. All of these things are little sayings that we come up with, but they're so pointed to the fact that it isn't you. It isn't your talents. It isn't your strength. It isn't anything of your wisdom or knowledge. All it is that you had one time somewhere along the path of your life, you received him as your Lord and Savior, and now we're working on continuing to go on that path and to serve him like the other disciples. Amen? And where that path leads, I don't know, but it's all good. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we love you, we glorify you. Thank you, Lord, for calling us. Just mere us, Lord. We look at ourselves, and Lord, we would probably say we are the least that I would think of that you would want me in your ranks. But Lord, you are calling each and every one. And may now, Lord, as we, as your disciples here, Lord, fulfill that call upon our individual walks. And that, Lord, that we are going to serve you and to bring you honor and glory. And that, Lord, it doesn't need to make a name for ourselves, because it's not our name, for we serve a name that's above every name, that of Jesus. And that every knee will bow, not at my name, but your name, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for letting me to be a part of what you're doing in the days that are now. Let us go forth in your power and your strength. Work, use us, speak through us. Let us be a part of your army, Lord, that's going to change this world. Lord, but we will turn this place upside down. And that, Lord, it's your power, it's your spirit going forth, preparing and doing. And we are going to be the hands, the feet, the voice of you, Lord, in this earth. Move through us, work through us, speak through us. Envelop us, Lord, with the totality of your spirit. And so that the only thing that we know, that we know, that we know, is that I have been bought with a price, and I am no longer my own. That I am yours, and you are mine. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Woo! Amen.